The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or as one translation reads, for the Word of God is a living thing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at Church on the North Coast as we listen to another exciting, anointed message from the Word of God. And now, God's messenger for today.
Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe I've received boldness. Therefore, I speak boldly. And I pray with boldness. I will be bold towards Satan, demons, sickness, disease, and poverty. For the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I will boldly proclaim the word of God toward heaven, toward hell, and toward all things. I'm as bold as a lion. I walk through the waters. I stand untouched in the flames. For God is with me. I am more than a conqueror. I am victorious in Jesus. And I celebrate my Savior. Let's do that right now. Hallelujah, Lord, we celebrate you. Woo! You're an awesome God. You're a mighty God. You are on the throne tonight, Lord. We bless you. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. I'm very excited about our upcoming camp meeting. Hopefully you got my phone call. Made 779 calls the other day by computer. Thank you, Lord, for technology. To call you to let you know. We want you to be here July 7th, 8th, and 9th. Don't miss it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. By faith, he, speaking of Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I think somewhere on your refrigerator, on your mirror, maybe in your Bible somewhere, you need to write down, I see the invisible. I think we all need to get that into our spirit, to recognize that we're not limited by what we see. But we, like Moses, can see God in all things. You see, we need to learn to develop a consciousness of God's presence. It is the backbone of the miraculous ministry out of our lives. That's why I believe today the title of this message is really appropriate. I've titled it, Maintaining the Flow. You know, one of the things that I want in my life is a flow of God's presence. And I don't want it to stop because it's difficult sometimes to get it going again. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're getting in the presence of God, you're praying and you've got the Holy Ghost on you and you're in the Word and things are going well. And all of a sudden, bam, you hit a wall. And the flow isn't going anymore. Then you have to start it all back up again. It's kind of like exercising. You know, when I'm in my mode of exercise and I'm doing it, you know, every day and I'm running, I'm doing what I need to do, it's an easy thing from week to week. But take a week off because maybe I got the flu or some problem or I hurt my leg or my knee. And one time I had to be off almost 6 weeks and boy, was it hard getting back in the groove. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the way it is in the spiritual life. We need to maintain the flow of the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways to do that is to develop a consciousness of God's presence and see the invisible. See, I believe that's how Jesus lived his life. Jesus believed that the Father was with him all the time. He saw the Father and he confessed his relationship with the Father. I believe that what you and I are convinced of, what we believe, will affect our actions. It'll affect our reactions to things. It'll affect the way we talk. It doesn't take long to be around somebody. If the flow is not maintained in life, you can pretty much pick it up quick, can't you? Pretty soon they're talking about what they see and they're also complaining about what's not happening in their life. Pretty soon you can come out of their mouth all kinds of negativity and you think, whoa, man, your flow has been interrupted. But when a person's in the flow, it doesn't matter what's happening around them and to them. Man, they open up their mouth, they're like a living well. Suddenly coming out of their mouth is all the blessing of God, the expectation of what God is going to do. I mean, they're talking faith. And you know, they may have no reason to be talking faith. But because up in their belly, it's like living water. It's bubbling up in their soul. They can't help it. They're not going to be conformed to the world or the things around them, because what's in them is greater and it supersedes that which is happening to them. So in you, there's something greater happening than what's happening to you. That's why you and I have got to maintain the flow. Could you just tell somebody around you? Keep it flowing, man. Just maintain the flow. See, here's some principles that I think are going to enhance your stance in maintaining the flow of God. Number one is avoid fear at all cost. Never allow yourself to walk in fear. Never allow yourself to become intimidated or operate in timidity, which means a lack of confidence, of being feeling inferior or having shame attached to your life or condemnation. You know, God's not given us a spirit of fear. And so when fear begins to creep into our life, we've got to do everything we can to avoid operating in fear, recognizing that it is an enemy to our faith. Go to Psalm 23. It's a famous psalm. Seems like the only time we quote it is when we bury somebody. But it's better than just funerals, right? Listen to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the deep sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or tread no evil, for you are with me. See, this man understood, David understood, that no matter where I go, God's with me. No matter what I'm going through, God's with me. He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What is the valley of the shadow of death? You might ask yourself that question. It is the realm of Satan. It is the domain of darkness. You know what? It's not if you ever walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to walk through it. That's the way that we're going to have to walk at times. But listen to me, just because you walk into the shadows doesn't mean you have to allow fear to come into your life. You and I need to recognize something. God is with me. And if God is with me, then God is for me. And if God is for me, who can be against me? Amen. Come on, just say that with me. Who can be against me? See, you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But we just need to remember, recognize, develop that consciousness to counter that potential fear, that what if syndrome. Do you ever get that? What if this doesn't work out? What if I run out of money? What if nobody comes back to church? What if this happens? What if that happens? No, wait a minute. Stop. Time out. I don't operate in the land of what if. I operate in the land of what is. What is? And so when what if comes up in your mind, you got to stand back, square your shoulders, dig down deep into your spirit, get a word. First step of how to walk in faith, get a now word and do what? This is the word of the Lord. What is what God has said, and I'm not going to fear. You see, Psalm 23 verse 4 talks about a supernatural covering. God's got you covered tonight. You know, the Bible tells us in Zechariah 2 and verse 5, Tina's been going through all her and Pam Forbush and their children this week literally cleaned out the entire attic of building 2. Folks, if you want to know how much stuff that is, that's more than all of our houses together that's in your garage. I mean, it's just tons of stuff. And I was going through some boxes. She brought home 10 boxes of stuff for me last night. So I got a chance to go through that today. Guess what I found in there? I found the old Wall of Fire pin, partner pin. And I looked at that and it reminded me of Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 5. That God said, I will be a wall of fire about her. See, God's got you covered. When fear begins to try to creep in, you got to get what is and not what if in your mind. And recognize that what is this. God has got a wall of fire about me. Not what if the wall of fire fades. No, no, no. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's what is. Now, what if I don't have enough food to eat at the end of the month? No, that's what if. Here's what is. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. See, you got to get to the what is in life and get rid of the what if. Amen. So maybe you want to just write in your notes tonight, what if, and put a big circle around it and a line diagonally through it. You know what that means? No to what if and yes to what is. Hallelujah. And that's what we got to develop, that mentality, so that we can avoid fear. Go over to Isaiah chapter 41. I like Isaiah chapter 41. It's a great verse. It was one of Dr. Summerall's favorite verses in verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And it reads like this. Fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Watch this in the Amplified. Fear not, there is nothing to fear. I like that. Fear not, there is nothing to fear, for I'm with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you, harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Now, he didn't say he would take difficulties away. He said, I'll harden you to the difficulty. In other words, the difficulty prior to you hooking up with me and having a consciousness of my presence would have crushed you. But now, because you have a consciousness of my presence, that difficulty will not be able to deal with you, because I'm going to harden you against the difficulty. Isn't that awesome? Man, I'm telling you, you are invincible. You are like the man. You are powerful in the spirit, as long as you stay in the realm of what is and don't slip into what if. Let me continue to read this. I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice. You see, when you're praying for the sick, and there's times in my life, people will come into the prayer and I'm getting ready to pray for them, and I'm looking at their condition. And I'm thinking, oh God, if you don't do this, this ain't going to happen. I mean, this person is way gone. Or I'll begin to say, well, Lord, what if they don't get healed? What did I just say? What did I say? What if? Oh, I just said, what if they don't get healed? What if is the floodgate to fear? What if she leaves me? What if I lose my job? No. Go back to what is. And the Bible says, by his stripes ye are healed. Therefore, when I go to pray for you, I got to get out of the realm of what if, and I got to begin to get in the realm of what is, and I begin to lay hands upon you, and I don't allow fear to come in, and I pray the prayer of faith, and I stand tall in my covering and recognize that God is with me, and it is God's will. I've already made up my mind. So you don't want anybody just praying for you. You get in the prayer line of people who's up there, what if you get healed? What would we do? What would we do if God will heal you? Honey, I'm not living in the what if land. I mean, there's some denominations that have built their whole doctrine about what if it's God's will. Listen, get out of the realm of what if and begin living in the realm of what is. You see, fear will always result in failure. Fear will always result in failure. Number two, how do we enhance our stance in the presence of God to maintain the flow? Number one, we said avoid fear at all costs. Number two, begin making bold declarations. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me enough money to finish this month. I thank you, Lord, that I have abundance for this month. I thank you, Lord, that I've got promotion. I got a new job. I thank you, Lord, that everybody loves me. I thank you that my dog loves me. My wife loves me. I thank you my neighbors love me. Lord, I thank you that you've changed the circumstance. In other words, whatever you're unsure of, you will never declare. If you're unsure of it happening, you'll never speak it. That's why it's real easy to determine a person's flow, because they're not really declaring their bold declarations of what God has said, because they're in the what if land. And when you live in the what if land, you talk what if. And it spreads a disease called fear. It spreads a disease called uncertainty about what God says. But the opposite is true as well. You ever get around somebody that's faith-filled and they got the flow going? And you say, hey man, how's it going? They say, man, I'm blessed and I'm highly favored of God. They say, well, yeah, but I heard you lost your job the other day. Oh, glory to God. God set me up. You say, whoa, man, you are like a man of faith here. You say, well, yeah, but you don't understand. Oh, I understand. I know that my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that can you think or ask. So what does that mean? That means you're in the what is realm. And you get around those kind of people and suddenly you start feeling encouraged. You think, man, I called you to encourage you, and shoot, you're encouraging me. It's great to be around those kind of people, isn't it? They're just magnetic. They're a force. It's a channel of release of the supernatural. When you make bold proclamations, God's anointing gets on those. You know, that until Moses took the rod and lifted it up against the Red Sea, it didn't part. It was his bold declaration of like, watch this. Stand still and see. Isn't that awesome? That is so awesome. The bread didn't multiply until Jesus took it and broke it. The wine didn't appear until somebody put water in the pot. It's a bold declaration. What are you all doing? He said, fill up the pots with water. I don't know. I'm just doing what he said. You know, sometimes we don't even know where God's going in our situation. You ever been there? You don't know where God's going in the situation. You're thinking, I don't know where this is going to end up at. All I know is I'm getting some water. Water's not wine, but he said, maybe they're so drunk they won't know the difference. I mean, you don't have to have great faith. Just do it. Just live in the land of what is and let God be God. He said, okay, roll away the tomb. Roll away the stone. You got to be kidding me. This guy's been dead 4 days. It stinketh. God said, look, I just need you to do something. I need you to engage. I need you to make a bold declaration. I'm about to do something. But before I do it, I got to find somebody on the earth to climb the mountain. I need to find somebody on the earth who's willing to spend time in the cloud so that when my finger appears and I put the law on the commandment, you can take it down to the people. It took a Moses to go get it. It took a Jacob, Celeste, to wrestle with to get the blessing. It took David to begin to sing and praise God and calm the spirit of a tormented Saul. It takes a prophet to come in and declare, thus saith the Lord. It's a proclamation. It's a bold statement on the earth. And God's anointing just is attracted to boldness. That's why Acts chapter 4:31 is such a powerful verse. I love Acts 2:4. Us Pentecostals hang out our hats on Acts 2:4. But I love Acts 4:31 better. It said the place was shaken where they were sitting. And they were all received boldness of the Holy Ghost. Boldness to proclaim. How do we maintain the flow? We boldly proclaim what God has said. I want my flow to continue to move. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. I'm telling you, we're going somewhere with this tonight. You're going to be blessed by the time we finish. I'm going to just preach you happy because I preached myself happy the other day. I was right in the middle of studying this and Bob Rickey from California called me. I said, brother, you called me at a wrong time. Shut up. Don't say a word. I'm about to preach to you. Let me tell you what God just showed me. By the time we got off the phone, he said, man, I was happy when I called you. He said, but I'm happier now. I said, me too. Glory to God. We just had church. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Now watch this. We, more than one, have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I, singular, believed. And therefore have I spoken. You know, everybody you hang around with is going to believe. They may believe, but not everybody is going to speak what they believe. It went down from two down to one. And then Paul goes back in that verse and he says this. He says, we also believe and therefore speak. In other words, we believe, I spoke, you sat back there and watched me. Now, we believe, come on, baby, speak with me. He was exhorting them to get engaged, get involved, to declare what God has said. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 and 5. Paul understood this principle. He taught this principle. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Classic portion of scripture, you know it. And I therefore, brethren, came unto you, not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. See, there are times in your life you're going to feel like a worm. You're going to feel so defeated. You're going to feel like you're not strong. You're going to feel like you can't stand. But Paul said, wait a minute. That's in the natural. But something in the spiritual is greater. If you'll just tap into it and by faith begin to make the bold declaration, he said, you just got to get yourself lined up with what God said. This is what he said, in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. My faith is in the power of God. I've got to go that way. I've got to get radical in my faith. I got to cross the line. I can't be religious anymore. I've either got to embrace this thing and believe this thing, or I'm going to back off of it. I'm going to walk away from it if I can't engage it. Paul said, I believe it. Look at me. I'm in fear and in trembling. I have no wisdom in my natural mind, but I believe what God said. And when I put God's word on my mouth and I begin to declare it, his anointing is attracted to it. And he'll begin to do what he said he would do. He's just looking for faith on the earth. God's like that. We've got his binoculars out. He's looking on the earth. Can I find somebody who's got faith? I'm looking for somebody who I can show myself strong through. Oh, will it be you? Can I use you tonight? Oh, and God said, I have not found such great faith. Not such great faith on the earth. Was it the Syrophoenician woman that he said that to? He said, I've not seen such great faith on the earth. And he was attracted to it. He was attracted to it. So you don't have to have your ducks in a row. You don't even have to have ducks. You may have a pond that's already dried up. It doesn't matter. God's not worried about your ducks. He's not worried about your pond. He said, look, I don't care if you've got an education or you don't. That's not the point. I don't care if you can name all the books of the Bible and you got all the memory and you've got the Bible college degrees. I'm not worried about that either. I'm just looking for somebody who will boldly declare the what is and stop talking about the what ifs. Come on, tap somebody on the shoulder and just say, say what is. Say what is. Don't you like people that'll tell you the way it is? I hate when people bounce around the truth. Well, you know, I guess I can, but I don't know. Well, yeah, you know, they're like the weather. They change every moment. You know, they're like chameleons. When they're with you, they agree. Then when they're with me, they agree. And then they're with somebody else, they agree. Just tell me what is. I mean, tell me straight. Tell me the truth. Don't dance around the situation. Give it to me. All of it. Doctor, don't tell me just what is. Right? We just want the truth. And that's what this world needs. It needs the truth. Romans chapter 1 and 16 says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? The power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what I live and move and have my being in him. I can't breathe without him. I can't live without him. I can't talk without him. I can't do anything without him. I can't be a husband without him. I can't be a pastor without him. I can't eat. I can't go. I don't have anything without him, right? He is all in all. He's my everything. So then why are we back up when the world confronts us? Fear tries to come in and back us down. Stand up. Stand tall. Prime the pump in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Spirit. You know, when you begin to pray in the Spirit, you'll get bold. You'll begin to prophesy to yourself. Do you ever prophesy to yourself? Man, there are times I'm running, I'm praying the Holy Ghost, and I'm starting to talk to myself. I'm like, man, that was good, God. Hallelujah. Where'd that come from? It's the Holy Ghost speaking to you. And you'll begin to feel like you can run through a troop. You'll begin to feel like you can leap over a wall. You can begin feeling like you're a lion, bold as a lion. And you know that the wicked flee with no one pursuing them. You're just looking for a devil somewhere so you can intimidate them. You're looking for a problem. You're looking for adversity so that God can make you hard against it. Because you're not backing up because there's a little problem, a little bit of trouble. I mean, this is an opportunity for God to shine through my life. Man, I was built for this. I was born for this. I was declared at such a time as this to be on the earth. I'm not going to tuck tail and run. I'm not going to curl up in a ball and walk away. I'm not going to hide in some cave. Give me life in Jesus. And I want to show the world that he's real. Is he real to you tonight? Come on, say he's real. Say Jesus is real. Hallelujah. He is real. Number three, I love this one. This is my favorite of all the three of them. I'm giving you 3 points on how to maintain your flow. Number one, we said avoid fear at all costs. Number two, make bold declarations. And number three, meditation. 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 It's like what we read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. Turn back there with me. Genesis 1, and I know you know that scripture, but You know, sometimes you just have to revisit it. Hey, you know what I found in that box today, Tina? I found the message that I preached, Grass Before Cows. That was in 1994. I preached that message. It still resonates in my spirit. It's God created the provision before he actually created the cow that would need it. Grass was on the earth before the cow came. And I preached that in 1994. I said, I got to get that tape out and listen to that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. I found 1993 camp meeting, Dr. Lester Summerall preaching in our tent. I'm going to get some, maybe with Tristan or somebody, and we're going to just make a monologue of all the 13 years of camp meeting, different speakers, and Iona Locke, and Juanita Bynum, and T.D. Jakes, and all these people that were in this pulpit that gave us a word, told us what is. Oh, man. I like having a parent that tells me the way it's going to be. You know, some parents, they don't know how to parent. They just let you do whatever you want. You know, but, you know, you get a parent that said, this is the way it's going to be. You're going to do your homework. You're not moving. Or you're going to be home at 10 o'clock. You're not home at 10 o'clock. You're getting a whooping. And I mean a whooping you ain't going to forget either. You know, tonight on the way in, there was a young lady. Oh, there she is. And the little girl, what'd she say to you? She said, you gave her a little swat. What'd she say? She said, that didn't hurt. That's because you're not the mama. See, mamas know how to make it hurt. Not kill you, just so you remember it. But big sister is just like, that didn't hurt. You know, you need a parent to say, oh, yeah, okay, I know what you're talking about now, mom, yeah. You want somebody that tells you what is. It's the way it is. If you're going to preach it to me, give it to me. If it's sin, tell me it's sin. It'll make me feel good, so I'll come back to your church. You know, I don't need to fill up the pews. I don't care about that. Anyway, this is good. I started meddling, you know. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 2. I started meddling. Okay. The earth was without form, an empty waste. This is Amplified Bible. And darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. Tina, how long did that mother goose sit on those eggs behind our house? How long did she sit there? I mean, she was there probably 8 weeks. I don't know how long it takes to hatch those things. But behind our house is a wetlands. And this mother goose got on those eggs and did not move. You couldn't get her off of it. She'd hiss at you. You get close, baby. And then that father goose come up there. I didn't care how big you were. You coming on my... I'm hovering right now. I'm brooding. I'm delivering something here. It's a powerful truth, man. Day and night. Didn't move. Didn't eat. Other than what we fed it. We threw bread to it because we felt bad. Things were going to starve to death. Started getting skinny. It was a skinny goose by the time it was over. But it didn't get up off that nest. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing over your life right now. He won't get up off your life. He's brooding. He's hovering over you so you can deliver something. Watch, though. What does he have to deliver? The word. He only brings life out of the word. So when you declare the word, let there be light. Bam! It comes. And you see, that's what we're talking about with meditation. Hovering over the word. Allowing your mind to hover over the word. Brooding over the word. I'm allowing my mind to bring life to this word. When I'm reading my Bible, I was reading about King Solomon this morning and all the sacrifices and the temple. The dude was rich, man. Do you know how rich he was? 24 tons of gold every year. I didn't say ounces. Tons! That's a lot of gold. 24 tons. And the Queen of Sheba, she was bad. She had all kinds of stuff. She brought all kinds of gifts. And the Bible says what Solomon gave back to her was way more valuable than what she gave him. I said, Lord, give me understanding about this man's ability to rule on the earth. And I started brooding over it, hovering over it. Why did he have such great wisdom? Why did his servants stand in his presence just blessed to hear him speak? What did he do? What did he say? And you see, meditation is more than just repeating the word that you read. It's more than just praying about it. It's birthing that word, getting the life that's out of that word. How many know there's life in the word? He said, my word is spirit and it's life. God, I want that life. I'm committed to getting it. I'm going to be like that mother goose. I don't care who comes by. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care how cold it gets in the month of March, May, or whatever it was. They were the April. I'm going to lay on these things until they come into life. See, that's the kind of attitude in order to maintain the flow. You've got to get a word from God, and you've got to begin to hover over it and brood over it until you bring life from it. You've got to get the life from it. You got to bring the life from that word. 1 Corinthians 14:2 is a prerequisite for the revelation or understanding to come. And that's so that you can know hidden truths and secret things, or secret things and hidden truths. What it is praying in the Holy Ghost. Folks, we've got to get back. We've got to get back to our roots as Pentecostals. It's not just so that you can have some kind of badge of spirituality because you said, see my tie, tie my tie, tongue tied, Hyundai, or whatever. It's not a spirit. It's not a bad badge of spirituality. It is a gift. It is a gift that brings life out of the word. When I pray in the Holy Spirit, I say, God, you're preparing my heart. And today, you know, I had a rough night last night. I was tired, and I was going to an appointment, and I said, well, this would be a good time to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I didn't want to pray, but I knew that if I don't pray, it's my connection to bring life out of the word. I've got to have life. People are expecting life out of this word. My wife is expecting life out of me. My kids are expecting life. I got to be in my optimal. I got to maximize the moment. I only have so many breaths left on this earth. I can't waste them. So I said, and I tried to get the mouth going, but it wouldn't want to go. And I forced it, and I kept forcing it. And I wish I could say I got a breakthrough, and I was having a great time, and I was crying, and God filled the car. It never happened. But I didn't quit, because I knew the principle that that's where life comes from. And so I want to be a person who broods over the word, hovers over the word. That's why it's important to take notes. That's why it's important. See, you can't remember. We can't remember. You know, it's like, what did you preach last week? I have no idea. I preached it and I can't tell you. I don't. If you ask me right now, tell me there are 3 points. I go, I don't know. What was last week? Oh, we had a speaker. That makes me feel a little better. I didn't even know we had a speaker. Huh? I spoke Thursday. Yeah, I don't know what I did though. That's why you got to write it down. You got to get this word. You got to meditate on it. You got to put your mind on it. You got to hover over it. Okay, that's what we're talking about. You've got to hover over the word. Let me hurry up. Acts chapter 10. This is 19. This is it. This is where we're going to end up at. This is where we're going to be all shout. Okay, Acts chapter 10. At least that's where I'm going to shout. Acts chapter 10. This is where Peter was up on the rooftop. What happened to Peter on the rooftop? He got a vision from God. Now understand something about this vision. This vision was out of the ordinary. This was a weird vision. He was a Jew. Jews don't eat unclean food. Here comes a vision from God with a sheep and all kinds of unclean animals in it. And that was bad enough. That was disgusting enough to a Jew. But then what did God tell him to do? Kill and what? Eat it. And God said, kill and eat it. Why would he tell him to eat it and kill it? And Peter said, wait a minute. My whole life I was told you can't even touch it. When the Holy Spirit comes, you may have been brought up in your life where you feel sex outside of marriage ain't no big deal, man. That's just the way you live your life. Or you have a philosophy that says, it's me, myself, and I. Whatever your tradition is, you go through life, then you get saved. Okay, now you're serving Jesus, but you're still living with the woman. You're still toting the smoke. You're still getting high. You think, I don't know, there's no big deal with this stuff. I mean, you can't change a person from the outside. You can't say, thou shalt not. It was sweet when the kid said, do not. She got that do not part down, right? You can't control, you can't grow people by telling them what not to do. Something's got to be birthed on the inside of them. God could never get Peter to eat unclean animals by telling him from the outside to do it. This was a dream from God. How many believe it was a vision from God? But it still didn't move him. Still didn't change him. Now, what was on the other side of the understanding of this was the nations, Cornelius, the Gentile world, the Holy Ghost falling on them. By the way, if you go to Israel with us, we'll take you to that spot. We'll have a Holy Ghost service there, Caesarea by the sea. But what had to happen is in verse 19 of that text. Now that's what we're going to read. Verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision. Meditation. While Peter thought on the vision. Let's put it this way. While Peter was earnestly revolving the vision in his mind and meditating on it. That's powerful. While Peter took the word from the Lord, revolved it around in his mind, and meditated on what God just said. There's one thing about hearing a sermon, but that doesn't mean it's going to change your life. I have preached some pretty good sermons over the last 30 years. But you know what? There's a whole lot of folks undaunted, unchanged. I've preached myself into a sweaty fervor. I've yelled, screamed, I've jumped up and down. I've ran around this place. I've done some crazy things to get the point across. I've illustrated it. I've had videos. I've done all kinds of object lessons. Some people stand there and look at me and go, oh, that was a good word. But it doesn't change them. Why doesn't it change them? Because all their life they had a philosophy that opposes that newly revealed way of life. And unless they take that word from the Lord and put it in here and revolve it around the mind and meditate on it, it won't change them. Until Peter got to verse 19, all the vision on the housetop, him hearing from God, showing him the sheet, all that stuff would have made no difference in his life. Because he was trained as a Hebrew. And you weren't about to get him to eat unclean things. After all, what if he gets kicked out of the church? What if the apostles don't understand that I really got a word from the Lord? See, if you don't revolve this thing around in your mind, you will live in the what if realm all your life. But if you can get it in your mind and begin to meditate on it, revolve it around in your mind, you'll move from what if to what is. And once you get a what is, you don't care what other people think. You don't care what the opinions of man are. You don't care what the fallout is. You know, you are persuaded. You're convinced. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I mean, come on, baby. I know I've got something here. And so what happened? Look at the verse with me in verse 19. He's meditating on it. He's revolving it around in his mind. And here's what the scripture says. And the Holy Spirit said to him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent to him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? The vision would have never moved him out of the house. He got his strategy when he meditated on what God said. He got his revelation when he meditated on it, and it caused implementation, which resulted in revolution. Folks, let me tell you something. You want change, you want to maintain the flow, you got to learn how to meditate. You got to learn to take that word and throw it around your mind and regurgitate that thing and say, okay, God, I'm brooding. I'm hovering over it. I want to bring the life out of this thing. Give me strategies. Holy Ghost, speak to me. Tell me what to do. All right, there's three men coming. They're going to walk down there. They're going to knock on your door. I want you to go with them. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to just say, hey, follow the Holy Ghost. I'm going to be poured out upon them. And the Gentiles are going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That would have never happened unless Peter meditated. Let me ask this question. What's not happening in your life because you're not brooding and hovering and taking the life out of what the word you're receiving? What's not happening in this generation because we're stuck on the sheet and the visions, and we're all excited about it. We dance around the church and say, oh, I got a vision from God, and oh, I see angels, and oh, I got power of God, and oh, that's good, man. But you know what? There's revelation that comes out of that. There's strategy of the Holy Ghost that comes out of that. All those things are with purpose. They're not so we can prophesy to one another. Thus saith the Lord, I see this in your life, and you're going to be great, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. Okay, great, that's fine. Give me the strategy. How's that going to happen? That doesn't come through prophecy. That comes through meditation. What do you think Jesus was doing all night when he was separated by himself, praying to the Father on it? What do you think he was doing? Lord, I pray. Lay me down before I go. How's this prayer going? Let's see. Now lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. Lord, you know if I should die before I wake, I pray, Lord, you take my soul. Keep me, Lord. You think that's what he was doing all night? Or was he taking the word that the Father gave him? He said, I do nothing but that the Father first tell me. I only say what the Father says. He got a word from the Lord, went to the middle of the night. He began to revolve around it in his mind, meditate on it. Holy Ghost gave him strategies and said, this is what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow you're going to meet a man, and he's going to be blind. His name is going to be Bartimaeus. He's going to cry out, and when he does, boom, you're going to heal him. I don't think Jesus was caught off guard and goes, oh, who's that Bartimaeus? Wow, where'd you come from? I think he knew where Bartimaeus came from. I think he knew about Lazarus. Did you read the scripture? Lazarus, your friend is dead. Jesus goes, oh, you're kidding. When did this happen? That didn't happen. He didn't catch him off guard. Why? Because he knew what was happening. He had strategy of divine revelation, which caused revolution on the earth. Yes. It's because he revolved the truth around in his mind, and the Holy Ghost revealed to him where to go, when to go, how to go. Folks, we can't walk around like blind people. We've got a shepherd. But it takes time. You've got to engage the Word. You've got to meditate on the Word. And when we do, we'll get divine strategies. And when we get divine strategies, it'll literally change the world. Supernatural direction comes in verse 20. And great confidence comes. Peter walked in confidence. I believe it's the key principle to breakthrough for you. It's this whole thinking on the vision. No revelation apart from meditation. No revolution without revelation. You know the righteous right hand of God? Do not fear the righteous right hand of God. He said, be bold. You know, I like Isaiah 43. I just have to take the time, and I'll close it. I know we're kind of running right to the last minute here, but you just bear with me. School's out. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created you, O Jacob, he that formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Philippians 4:8. Think upon these things. You know, we take that and we religiousize it. Well, we got to be good. You got to be pure. You got to think of lovely things. Okay, there's nothing wrong with those characteristics. But take the egg, pure, hover on it, brood over it, and watch divine strategies from the Holy Ghost come as a result. He said, meditate on these things. Not just those things, these things, which includes all that God has said. Meditate on these things. See, revelation usually will cause revolution in you before it causes it in others. Peter had a revolution. He killed and he ate a ham sandwich. That's radical. Do you understand what I'm talking about? He killed the pig, had a pig roast, and ate it. It caused a revolution. I think it's time for some revolution. It's time for some revolution. I think tonight we need to declare our confession one more time. Just lift your hands with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I believe I've received boldness, and I commit to maintain my flow. I will pray with boldness. I will be bold towards Satan. I will speak boldly, for the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. I will make bold declarations, and I'm leaving the land of what if to dwell in the land of what is. I boldly proclaim the word to heaven and toward hell, toward all things. And even though I walk through the flood and I stand in the midst of the fire, it shall not overcome me. Holy Spirit, reveal in me today your revelation for this generation. I need a revolution. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come on, stand up on your feet. Lift your hands up in this place, this holy place right now. Yeah. Yeah, I believe the Holy Ghost is here right now. I believe some of you have been looking for a key on how to get a breakthrough. You've been reading your Bible, you've been getting the word in you, but you've lived in the land of what if. Fear has intimidated you.
Let it flow.
That's right, come on. But no more.
Maintain.
You're about ready to move.
This flow.
You got a word from God.
Never let go.
Right now. You need to make a commitment tonight. I'm not moving.
Maintain the flow.
Off of this nest.
Never let go.
Until life comes.
You've been listening to a message that emphasizes the reality and power of God's Word. Again, thank you for listening. If you would like further information on our ministries or other products available, visit us online at www.churchonthenorthcoast.org, or you may call us at 440-960-1100. In the meantime, may God richly bless you, and may His word be alive in your life.